Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and I am here in Clapham.
Looking relaxed.
I am relaxed, Lenny. Mm. We've had much feedback on our wine tasting.
Oh, yeah. Can I just say that Matt was really delightful.
Poor sweet Matt.
And I don't think those little clips do him justice because he was
so
the sweetest,
wonderful.
Nicest man. So you really need to listen to the episode because he's so knowledgeable and so nice and so tolerant.
I can't really remember anything he said, but he was brilliant and I love Cornell Wine Company.
Me too.
And just if you are going to be in California...
Go.
Such a spot. Now, speaking of another California gal,
yeah,
we have Minnie Driver on today.
I wanted to talk about something first.
Oh, sorry.
I think I've got podcast neck.
What do you mean?
I've got a pain in that side of my neck, and someone said, do you twist your neck a lot to the right? And of course I do. When we're doing the podcast, I always sit in one place and I'm looking like that.
Mum,
podcast
I hate
neck.
To break it to you. It's like twice a week and... For 2 hours.
Podcast neck.
So why don't you swivel today?
I'm going to swivel.
No, with your swivel chair.
I've been recommended a wobble cushion.
What's a wobble cushion?
You sit on it and it keeps your back from being quite mobile. It helps your back be mobile.
Mrs. Wobble, the waitress.
Mrs. Wobble, the waitress.
I guess I can't really do anything about that, really, unless we were in a round table like the traitors.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It doesn't matter. I'll cope.
So we have a Brit... That does live in California, I believe.
She's now American.
Oh, she's American.
She gave up nationality, British nationality.
Oh, interesting.
Took on American.
We shall ask her all about it. Yeah. We've got Minnie Driver joining us for a spot of brunch. You've been on cooking duty, Mum.
Yeah.
So Minnie Driver has her own podcast called Minnie Questions with Minnie Driver. She gets massive names. She's going to be in a TV show called Serpent Queen. She's playing Queen Elizabeth. I'm really looking forward to having Minnie Driver on. Loved her in Starstruck, which we love. We've had both Rose and Nikesh on. But she played the RC agent of Tom, the character in it. And she was so good in it.
Yeah, I miss that.
I miss that too. Maybe it's coming back.
No, it won't.
Maybe she can tell us.
Rose said, I bumped into Rose at the theatre.
Did you?
And I said, Rose, should I know what you're going to say, Lenny? Not happy about the ending. And I said, is it coming back?
Oh!
She kind of didn't commit, but I didn't feel she was.
What's on the menu, Mum?
So is brunch.
Yeah, my fave.
Luckily, we didn't get the memo that she is a vegetarian. We just were told she doesn't eat red meat.
Oh, she's a veggie.
She's a veggie. Luckily, I've
cooked... Don't put any parmesan in there today.
Luckily, I've cooked a veggie meal.
That's very unusual for you.
It is very unusual.
Sarah Pascoe's rubbed off well on it.
So I did... Well, asparagus is here at the minute. So I've made an asparagus frittata.
Delish.
I had lots of Greek yogurt, so I made...
Labneh. You're sustainable, Sue.
Labneh.
You've been straining with a muslin.
Yeah, last night. And I didn't have any za'atar. So I looked it up and I've made it. I've done a kind of deconstructed peperonata. So it's kind of roasted peppers with roasted tomatoes.
Celebrity MasterChef. Here we come.
Well, I've been watching a lot of it.
All right.
So I put some capers on and I was going to put anchovies on.
But she won't.
I'll ask her if she wants to have anchovy on. If she does, then I can put anchovy on. And then I've done... I know you wanted me to make aioli, but it is 11 in the morning. And I don't know about if she's got other people to see today. Mm. Raw garlic might not be the thing.
Fair enough.
So I've made a Dijon mayonnaise dressing, and I'll see if she likes parmesan. I'll put parmesan on little gem lettuces. So I've got, that's it. And then...
That's loads.
I made an almond cake.
Jesus.
Which is, looks delicious. And I'm going to give you a secret. When I took it out, it split in half. So I shoved it back together again. So it looks all in one piece. I was trying to get the paper off the bottom.
Yeah.
And it split, just like, because it's quite a gooey, it looks a bit like
marzipan.
It's going to taste a bit like, you know, the inside of an almond croissant, which is my favourite.
Yum.
Like quite gooey. So when I picked it up to try and, it kind of split, but I shoved it back together and it's going to have icing sugar on and it'll be fine. And I've got some cream to go with that. Oh, and Alice, because it's Passover, I didn't have any bread in the house. So lovely Alice brought some bread and I owe her a fiver.
Mini Driver coming up on Table Manners. Mini Driver.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome. You look fantastic.
Yeah, really
you
gorgeous.
Are,
thank you.
You.
I'm old.
No.
You're not
Why
old.
Why do you look younger than me? This is really, like, you need to tell me what you're doing because you look fabulous.
Thank you.
You have come in with Lily of the Valley, which smells delish. We still, you said it means something.
Yeah,
We're still not.
We've got to Google it.
I thought lilies meant death, so I'm
no,
like.
Not those are the big white lilies.
The big white
those
ones.
Big, not Lily of the Valley.
Can someone Google what Lily of the Valley means?
Lily of the Valley it means something. It's something nice. And I feel like they were the original flower that you held when you got married, like the beginning. And I think there's fertility and there's something in it, but maybe we'll Google it.
What are you trying to say? I mean, I'm done with kids. I think you're done with kids. You could marry Minnie.
But there's always like, you know, we could be fertile in other areas.
Okay.
Creatively fertile.
Purity, joy, love, sincerity.
Oh, God, good luck. He comes to the wrong house.
There we go. That's why I brought it. I brought it as an encouragement.
It's like saging. Yeah, Mum, are you pure? Are you joyful? Are you...
That's me, darling.
Are you happy, Mum?
Pure and joyful. Okay, right.
How are you, Minnie?
I'm all right. I am all right, actually. Yeah, I'm in a weird in-between work period, which I'm now learning to really enjoy as opposed to feel this huge pressure and threat that I'm not working, which I realise is just the engine of my whole life is around work. So I'm now waking up every day going, brilliant, I have nothing to do. What am I going to do?
So what have you been doing as like new hobbies that have been taken up? Or not even that, are you just watching telly in bed?
Actually, no. If I did that and it was the daytime, I would feel sad.
Ah.
Because I've lived in Los Angeles for like 27 years.
So you get up at 6 and have your dinner at 5.
Exactly. Yeah. I walk everywhere in London. I walk or I cycle everywhere.
You can't do that in LA.
And I've had a whole lifetime of not doing that. And that is absolutely amazing. And I often do what my mum did, which she did during COVID, where she just had a big map and she would look for where green spaces were. And then she would either put her bike in her car and take it to the green space or she'd cycle there. Because she was in her 80s during COVID. But I now do that. I look for green spaces that I haven't cycled before and I go there.
Do you look for green spaces that have good little cafes and coffee shops that are not that fast?
Do you know what? I sort of trust in London that I'll find that. Like you just do. You come across bakeries and coffee shops and places.
You sound like you're on holiday. I like it.
I think that's the way of looking at being in between.
Why
work.
Are you here exactly?
I know, it's a really good question. Do you mean that in the larger sense? Because I could go down that road.
But you live in LA.
I live between here.
Okay.
I live between the Pacific Ocean and London. I've got to tell you, Los Angeles is just a suburb of the Pacific. That is how I've always seen it. I live by the sea in what a lot of people would consider a sort of holiday caravan. But it's I live right on the beach where I surf and live. And that's
in
how
Malibu.
I've stayed. Yeah.
We've just been there.
Have you?
Yeah. We came back 2 weeks ago. It's my favourite place on
earth. It's heaven. It's heaven.
If I was a wealthy woman, I'd buy one of those houses.
Well, by the way, you have to be like more wealthy than like it's like ridiculous now. I bought my place 22 years ago when it
wasn't as popular.
Well, I also live in a mobile home. Like it's not. It's not a. I don't live in a. So one of those big
how far are you near Real Inn? Or you near the Country Mart?
I'm basically keep going north. I'm like in North Malibu. So you go past the little Malibu Seafood, which is on your right. You go past the 76 station. You go up to a place called Point Doom, and that's where I live.
I heard Point Doom's got a good food spot.
Yeah, it's
you get a good burrito.
Yes, Lily's.
Lily's.
Lily's is the best. Is the best burrito. In fact, an actress who shall remain nameless. Drove her car into Lily's, managed not to kill anybody, but Lily's was shut for the longest time, and it was really, really, really terrible. It was really good that no one got hurt, and yeah, she ruined the local burrito joint for a really long time.
Shit.
Yeah, so lucky no one was hurt.
Do you like burritos?
Yeah, I love them because I surf, and when you've surfed, when you've been in the water for like 4 hours. What you want is you are so hungry when you get out, and what you want is something big, immediate and delicious. And that is a burrito, and a really well-made burrito.
I still need to talk about the mobile home bit. So, yeah.
Well, that was all I could afford in Malibu.
Like, okay, so...
So 20, this is my 23rd year there. That's all I couldn't afford one of the $60 million. There, now they're $120 million, the houses there in Malibu. And I used to surf. I lived in Hollywood, and I used to get up really early, drive out to Malibu, surf, and then it's very different now. The little Country Mart. It used to be what they would call mom and pop stores and restaurants, and now it's properly sort of for expensive shops for tourists, which even the tourists don't want to buy long vin out in Malibu. Mm. It's absurd. But anyway, I went into this coffee shop, and there was a girl working there, and I was saying. She was like, where do you live? I was like, I live in Hollywood. She's like, do you surf? I was like, yeah. I was like, how does anyone like afford to live out here? Like if I could, like I could afford something little, but you can't even do that here. And she said, oh, my parents live in this mobile home park. It's amazing. Do you want me to call my dad? And I was like, yeah, go on. And like her dad came down and we went back and I'll never forget driving in. It was like, a community that I'd grown up with, where there were kids on bikes and skateboards in the street, there were older people, there were people chatting, doors were open. It was like the complete apotheosis of Hollywood and Los Angeles. And I went and I immediately knew, like, I have to live here, I have to find a way. And then I went to the Bluff, which is where everybody sort of meets and drinks their coffee, to check the waves in the morning. And it was just this perfect right-hand break. And then there were breaks all the way as far as I could see. And I just knew I had to do anything I could to live there. And like, obviously, no one had a second home.
You visit there and then you live in Hollywood?
I used to. And then I sold my house in Hollywood during COVID so that we could move here and get a place.
Okay.
And now that place is our home in Malibu. Okay.
So does your son go to school in Malibu?
He did. He goes to school in England now.
Okay.
So when we moved here, we meant to do it for a term, like September to Christmas, and then let's see if the schools open back in California again. And they didn't. So we were like, okay, well, let's finish out the school year. And then my mother died very unexpectedly in that time. I know it was awful.
COVID?
It wasn't COVID, actually. It was completely unrelated. Very sudden, in retrospect, exactly how she would have liked to go. She rode her bike to Chelsea Westminster, you know, to the emergency room, and she was gone 10 days later. But that was right for my mum, who was the most adventurous, engaged, fantastically spirited person. But our whole life changed when she died. And I took Henry down to the school that I'd gone to, where my mum had also gone. We went to plant her a tree in memoriam. And Henry just took one look at this school and, like, you know, there's, like, there's a soundboard and you can book time in the studio. There's a full like recording studio and like this incredible library and this beautiful theatre, and it's all built around this apple orchard with kids sitting out, sort of chatting in between lessons. And it was idyllic.
Which one is it?
It's called Beedales.
Oh, Beedales, of course.
Yeah. And then Hen went, he was like, could you afford to send me here? And I was like, you know, yeah, I mean, we'll see how it goes for sure. If you want to. I was like, I can't believe you want to go to a boarding school. Like, you really want to go to a boarding school? This is my kid who doesn't even really like sleepovers. And
he loves it.
And he does.
But Beedales is quite special.
It's a special, special place. And it's not, it's so funny. There are people who kind of curl their lip up when, or look blankly and are like, oh yeah, Beedales, when I say that he goes there or I go there. And then there are people who smile and go, oh, that's an interesting environment. It's a special place. It's very independent thinking, and you know.
So then you spend holidays in.
So now I go back because I go back whenever I just can't bear the grey. Yeah. Like November is really brutal. It is brutal. I don't. And then
I think January and February
kills you.
It is. It's very, very, very hard. And it's not for the faint of heart. I'm not built that way. I don't think I ever was. You know.
Who got you into surfing?
It was a function of that. I've always been in the water my whole life.
Okay.
And I'd done it a bit when I was a kid, but then really in my late 20s, my early 30s, I think when I was 30. So it started quite late, but I'd already been up on a surfboard, but I started properly surfing when I was like 29, 30. And it was how I managed to stay. That was also like coincided with being really, really famous and realizing how impossible that is for a human to like maintain their humanity and be famous. And I didn't know how you did that.
Was that post Goodwill Hunting?
Yeah, and it was like post that, and like vicious press and vicious kind of cycle of like this idea that you should be grateful. You should be grateful, and yet you're sort of dying inside a bit, and yet everyone's telling you how ungrateful you are and that you should get your shit together. But you...
Ungrateful for what?
For not knowing how to deal with the attention, and for not understanding how to navigate whether it's standing up for yourself on a set or standing up for yourself in the face. Like, there was no recourse. There was no accountability, and you weren't allowed to say, I'm finding this really difficult.
Is that the same in the States as it is here?
Yeah, I think
because here I think they are very critical of people who become famous.
And
we like
don't
to
like
take
it.
People down.
Yeah, definitely.
People who do well. We somehow don't really want people to do well.
I think also because I went to the States. I think that was also seen
and they
as
felt
how
betrayed.
Dare
yeah.
you leave. You jumped up and they wanted me to get a nose job and have had a boob job, and I didn't. So then it had to be, well, you've got to be some sort of shallow imbecile to want to go and be in Los Angeles. And Los Angeles is actually just, it's a lovely place that is a one-horse town. Like, it is an industry town. Like, it is about that. But it's not fake. In actual fact, it's extraordinarily sort of clear about what it is.
Mm.
And it's not for everyone, but I always found there was something very honest about LA.
I love LA.
It doesn't pretend to be anything else. Whereas
maybe do, but LA is a place. Yeah,
LA itself and California itself, like the
so
wonder
beautiful.
Of like the mountains and the ocean. Yeah. And
it's gorgeous. I love it.
Can I ask you about your dinner table when you were younger? Who was sitting around it, and what was a really memorable dish that you were eating?
Well, it was funny because when my parents split up, it was two very, very different households. My mum, by absolutely her choice, she wouldn't take a penny from my dad. And so we really had no money living with mum. And then my dad, who was by himself, was very wealthy. So it was a strange, there were two very different tables. And the table with my dad was in restaurants, which became extremely familial because we'd always go to the same place. And then with Mum, it was the food that she grew in the garden and what was at the butcher's and what was at the farm. So there, it was very, very delicious.
Where did you grow up?
So in with Mum in Hampshire, and then my dad was in Barbados or in London.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was quite different.
Is that where you got your love of the water, from Barbados?
I think also from my mum, and that was in, like, the sea at West Wittering. And so any water, I don't mind if it's cold or warm.
Is there an east and a west? Because they call them the Witterings, don't they?
So we were in West Wittering.
Okay, and there is an east.
And there is an east Wittering,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think West Wittering is quite fancy now. I think with the whole, the Witterings quite. But then it was, you know, it's grey sand and you have to walk for about a quarter of a mile to actually get to the beginning of the water when the tide's out. And freezing and lovely. And Mum cooked everything. And it was very fun pulling up vegetables that she would then cook. I always remember there was never quite enough food. She cooked delicious food, but she was, you know, if there were two little tiny lamb chops, because that's when I still ate meat, it was never quite enough, but it was delicious, which is probably where I have quite a big appetite.
Where was your memorable restaurants your dad used to take you to?
So my dad used to take us to a place called the Mirabelle, which was on Curzon Street in Mayfair. And
I think I remember it.
Oh my God. It was
fancy.
It was very fancy. But what was so funny was my dad, because he would only go to the same places, they became like a diner for him. And I don't mean that to sound...
It was quite expensive.
Yes, it was. But I think...
What was your order?
Oh my God.
Sorry,
He was by himself, and I think they offered, like, he knew all the waiters by now. He knew their wives, he knew the busboys, he knew the maitre d', he knew the barman. They were all his friends. And I think he would go and sit in there and he would make lunch last through the afternoon and into dinner so as not to be by himself.
Oh.
So there was this very familiar, and it was funny, you know, there weren't little children at the Mirabelle. It was fancy people eating their lunch. And they would make like a chicken Milanese with like a Pomodoro sauce, and then they'd make these big steak chips that they'd stack up like Jenga, which we would then play Jenga with, which was really fun with my sister. And then creamed spinach. You know, it was very kind of, in a way, which is basically a chicken nugget with cream, with chips and cream spinach. Like, it was
traditional Italian food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was delicious. But I think I can't remember if I'd actually have no idea what kind of food they served, because that was what
you
always ate. And I never went there as an adult. It was only as a little child.
Are you hungry?
Yeah, I'm hungry. I'm
okay. Do you want me to get some?
Should we eat?
Yeah.
Have you have a podcast?
I do have a podcast.
How do you choose your guests?
So there's two things. There's people that I'm interested in, and there's people I'm interested in hearing how they will answer my questions. And I love now. What I love is, because I started out doing it in COVID, so it was essentially for me and then the people who were stuck at home.
Uh-huh.
But now, whether it's people that I don't know or whether it's my friends texting or DM going, ooh, that was a bit uphill, wasn't it? Or, oh my God, I loved that one. And who was that neuroscientist? I can't believe that, like, you had a neuroscientist. Or, oh my God, I had no idea that Lucy Boynton was the most considered, lovely, intellectually spirited person. I thought she was just a beautiful actress. Like, I like what it seems to inspire in the people that listen. Or I always listen to your podcast when I'm on my run. It makes me go running because I know I'll listen to your podcast and I'll be out for 40 minutes or whatever. I don't know. It just is like a nice...
Right.
Help yourself. Oh,
this is asparagus frittata.
Delicious.
That's labneh.
Lovely.
That's... Lenny strained with her own muslin.
Yeah, with my own muslin.
Did you really?
Yeah.
It's easy.
Lenny.
So easy.
I feel like your mum would have done that. Mum,
she,
you know?
By the way, she had the old cheesecloth going. She put a hook in above the kitchen table for her cheesecloth over to make cheese, to make ricotta, to make nut milk, which the 70s was just like the most...
Oh, wow, she was doing it back then.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I've got your oat milk if you need it.
That's so nice.
Here,
that's
so nice. Do help yourself. So that's labneh. Jess, can you cut some bread?
Yeah, bread. Delicious. Tomato and capers, my favourite thing in the world.
Now, Minnie, we ask everybody, so just start thinking about this.
Yeah.
We ask everybody what their last supper is.
Yeah, no, it's
Okay, great.
I knew that question in advance.
So I presume you've prepped.
I did prep it. Potentially. Okay. But, it's so funny, I did it last night when I was making the saddest dinner of all dinners.
What were you making?
My dinner last night was, I'm not joking, yogurt and granola and blueberries, because I didn't have anything, and that was it.
Oh,
I'd been out all day, and I came back starving, and that was that. So I was thinking about what my last meal was would be. And it would be, and again, it is a bit Proustian, but it would be the roast chicken that my mother made every Sunday and that I make as much every Sunday as I can. And she taught me to make the most important part of any roast meal, I think, is the gravy.
Right.
And she did teach me to make the most delicious gravy and how to properly roast potatoes, and that celeriac pureed with butter and salt and pepper is unmatched in its deliciousness.
Heaven.
And any kind of greens that you've got from a farmer's market that are fresh and still sort of crispy and juicy, dark greens, will be delicious under gravy.
What is your secret for your gravy then?
Well, what I've realised over the years, and what's so funny, is that chickens used to make so much more water because you realised they were pumped with water. But even the ones from down the road, it's funny, they never made that much juice. So the trick is you have to have made a bone broth from a chicken to then have that as a really, really, really heavily reduced, delicious stock to then add to all the pan juices of the chicken. I take the chicken out, have the big baking tray, take out all my veg, but then all the onion and garlic is still in it, pour in some of my homemade stock, then put my flour in and cook the flour, really boil it, whisk it, then taste it, chuck in some wine, burn off the wine.
Yeah.
And then it's really sort of salt and pepper. And as long as I've reduced it and as long as I've kind of seasoned the chicken really, really well and seasoned the vegetables, it's the most delicious gravy on earth. God, that labneh, by the way, is delicious.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good, Mum.
Absolutely delicious.
So easy.
Is it?
Yeah, what? It's just Greek yogurt, bit of salt, and you hang it up in the muslin.
For how long?
Till the water comes out. Mine was up for about 3 hours yesterday.
And then mint?
I put mint on
it, which
she made her. She made her own za'atar.
I didn't have any, and I looked it up, and it seemed quite easy.
The roasted peppers with capers and tomatoes, it so reminds me of the 90s.
Why?
It's like, I swear Delia Smith had a recipe.
I used to do it all the time.
You used to do it all the time, but I feel like it was like a 90s staple for like when you were bringing something to a party. Do you know what I mean?
I like this, the anchovies and the capers. Mm. That's my favourite pizza in the whole world, is a Napolitana, you know, black olives, anchovies, capers.
Where do you go for your pizza?
I don't know in London. I don't know. I know in California.
Okay, where's your California spot?
Well, my mate has a pizza night on a Friday night. Her husband makes the dough in the morning, and they got this oven, and they literally had it shipped from Italy. It is the most incredible oven, and we sit outside, and she makes these very, very thin with hot honey.
Mm.
My God, the hot honey.
Yeah.
Hot
honey.
Yeah. Hot honey. So like chili
goat's
honey.
Goat's cheese or
different. Yeah. So there's like, I don't do the Parma ham one, but they do one with prosciutto and hot honey. But she does one with a white pizza with shrimp that is the most delicious thing. So
that
it
sounds
like
it
pesto
work.
White, so it's sharp.
Yum.
It's incredible.
Yum.
Absolutely incredible.
Is this an actress or is it?
No, she's
a surfer.
She is a surfer. She's a big studio executive who surfs, and I know her from the water, which is the best place to forge friendships for me in Hollywood.
I love
because
that.
If you meet someone in the water, they know that you are a particular kind of person and you know that they are a particular kind of person, and nobody talks about Hollywood in the water.
Have you ever seen other Hollywood actors in the water?
Yeah, I have. And also, do you know who I'm gonna name and shame right now?
Do
because
it.
I could give
name
a fucking
him.
Shit.
Name him.
Do you know who? Okay, first of all, I need to tell you what dropping in on someone is. In
okay.
the water, there
I'm
is
here
an,
for this.
There
this
is an etiquette.
The fucking hot tea. Yeah.
There is an etiquette when you surf that people follow, and it is largely for safety. Mm-hmm. It's also because of respect, and it's just how shit works.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when you paddle out? First of all, you don't take the first wave that comes because you've just paddled out. You let it cycle through the people that are already there.
Oh, so it's like a kind of queuing system. Like
100%. Because it's dangerous otherwise. So here's the deal.
Uh-huh.
If you're sitting and if there's someone ahead of you, so basically someone, if you're going right on a wave, if there is someone to your left, they have priority.
Okay.
And you have to wait. If they stop paddling
like
for the wave.
Exactly.
Okay. It's like a roundabout. So it's a really shitty thing to do, to drop in on somebody. And there are all kinds of fights and bad things happen in the water when people do that. And it's shitty. So people try not to do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Diplo doesn't not try to do that. Diplo dropped in on me last summer so many times on his stupid foam board with I couldn't, and he was out with a mate of mine, so I wasn't allowed to say, would you fucking stop it and have some respect? Also, you can't surf. Oh, I was so annoyed. I'm gonna get.
I had him
I'm
on
gonna
the
get,
podcast, and I was
oh
gonna
my God,
ask you.
I love
I'm so.
That.
I'm so sorry, but like, it
Don't
really.
Apologize.
No, I'm gonna get in trouble for saying that. But
no, he needs to learn.
But it's also like, if you're gonna come to Malibu and like buy your big house and suddenly consider yourself a surfer and paddle out and piss off the people that have lived there for years, you're gonna get outed on a podcast. So anyway, Diplo, I'm coming for you this summer. Look out.
Will you? What's it? Drop in on him ever? And flip the bird.
Do you know what? This is going to sound so sanctimonious. I would really try not to do that. I would really rather go over and go, look, mate, not sure if you're aware of the rules, but like, don't be a dick out here. I'd rather shame him rather than go and do what he did. But yeah, if I come across him again and he does it again, then I would. It's just
I was
shitty.
Going to ask, do you know Diplo? Because I remember him talking about living in Malibu because he loved surfing.
You know what?
Yeah, and stealing her waves.
But by the way, and not just me, it was anybody. It's that, you know what it is? It's the level of entitlement. I didn't get waves for years. I literally would paddle out. I would try and get waves. I wouldn't get waves. And a bunch of old guys took pity on me. And eventually, after like 6 or 7 months of paddling out and not having to wait till everybody got out until I would get waves, these old guys were like, I'll give you a set wave, which is like the big waves that come through. But if you don't make it, you're not going to get another one.
Have you ever had any kind of terrifying moments?
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
but it didn't put you off.
No, I mean, yeah, definitely. I've got busted ribs, and that's probably the scariest thing that ever happened, was like busting my rib. I hit my board really. I got clamshelled on a wave. So basically, if you're on a wave and it kicked up, I was already on it. It looked fine, but it kicked up a couple of feet and then it just shut like that. So it sort of shut on my head and it slammed me down on my board and I bust my rib. And the only thing about that is you can't get a breath in. And my neighbor's dog, actually, my neighbor's amazing dog jumped in the water and basically came and like started trying to get me out of the water and alerted him that I was in trouble because I was out by myself. It was really...
Wow.
It taught me to never, I will never... Actually, that's not true. I surf alone all the time. But I would not go out when it was big by myself ever again.
What
was the dog's name?
Riley.
Riley.
He's still alive, yeah. Yeah, he's a shepherd lab mix.
What an amazing dog.
He was
dog.
Amazing. He was trying to sort of grab me and like nose me back onto my
Bless
board.
Him.
Does yeah, your son surf?
He does. Henry surfs.
How did he take instruction? Was he like quite good with it?
By the way, he just figured it out for himself. I used to try, and then he completely resisted and was like, I'm never going to surf. I'm not going to do it. And then he just started. One day he just picked up a board and he went out, and I couldn't believe it. He just jumped right up and I was like, okay.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
You mentioned you had a pet pig.
Well, there was a pig at my school and she was beloved.
Beloved. What was her
name? Clodvig.
Wow.
Yeah.
Clodvig.
She was...
Was she Welsh?
She wasn't Welsh.
It sounds like a Welsh
Clodvig's
name.
Clodvig's a Celtic... Clodvig was a king. Clodvig was actually a male. And my friend Polly had a... Did she have a cat called Clodvig? Anyway, I think that's where I got the name from. And Clodvig. That's what I called her. And I loved her. And I've never been able to eat... I've really never been able to eat pigs because I loved her so much. But so now it's just a
pig. Pigs are clever, aren't they?
They're very clever.
Yeah.
Very, very, very
of
clever
all of
indeed.
Them, they're clever.
Do you have a sweet tooth?
Yeah.
Would you like a little bit of almond, gluten-free almond cake?
I don't. I just want it.
Would you like...
I want Labneh on the cake. but that's
you
true, right?
You can take that home if you want.
But can't I put some Labneh on the, on the almond
it's got
cake?
Salt in it.
Well, that might be quite nice. Like,
if you want it.
Has it got, like, ground... I mean, yeah, if you just ignore the like the herbs on the top, like, yeah.
I quite
it.
Like
you
that.
Do you.
That sort of medicinally herby...
Do you like a Jaeger bomb?
No, that is cough medicine. That's disgusting.
They are disgusting.
Jaeger.
What is your tipple?
Jessie, you're going to have some. Mm.
Well, it's tequila, isn't it? It really is. It's a Reposado tequila on the rocks with lime, and I can make it last a really long time.
Oh, that's clever.
Because I let the ice melt.
What and brand?
Look, I know there's everyone in there. Everyone in their girlfriend
it.
Has got a tequila out, but I'm an... old school Casamigos Reposado, and they've also got this new
thanks Mom.
God, what's it called? They've got a new one that's white, but it's not a Blanco. It's like somewhere between an Añejo and a Reposado, and it's delicious. It's my favorite, that and a beer. I want both those things in my hand. I want a Pacifico beer and I want a tequila on the rocks, and I want to be on the beach, and I want to have just surfed.
Does anybody want Mascarpone?
Oh, yeah, I will. It was something sort of...
I'm kind of falling in love with you. I would, like, want to marry you, Minnie. Aww. The way that you live your
No one's wanted to marry me except one person wanted to marry me and we didn't end up getting married. But no one has wanted to marry me. But I do have a boyfriend who is the great love of my life. And even though he doesn't want to get married, for lots of very hilarious reasons, my favourite being... As, and I quote, he said, why would I want to be in a throuple with the state of California? So we live, he said something so beautiful the other day when I was sad about not getting married. And he said, is it because you think that I would I would leave you that if because we're not married. And I was like, I don't know, maybe it's something like that. And he said, don't you know that if we were ever not together, if you ever left me, there's just a mini and Henry shaped hole that would just close up behind you and there wouldn't be anything else.
And then the ring nearly... No, he's definitely not marrying you.
Can I tell you what I said is, please, can we just have a party?
Party.
Because I want the dancing and the speeches.
Yeah.
That's all I want. And the food. I just want an outdoor. I want a barbecue and, like, lanterns in the trees and, like, big long tables and floorboards and the grass with the sea right there and everybody dancing and, like, my band playing and us playing music all night and people in tents.
Your
and that's
band?
What I want.
Which band is that?
I mean, I've played music. I mean, I feel weird saying that to you, Jess, but I played music like my whole life. And we did used to tour and do
what
stuff.
What was the name of the band?
Well, it was just me. And I put some records out and we opened for Crowded House, for the Finn Brothers around England and Ireland. And we toured North America. And they're all my great friends who are now in. I mean, they were always the most brilliant musicians and they're all in other bands. But we get together and we play still sometimes. Would you? But that's who would play. I would insist they all came off tour and came to my wedding. My not wedding.
I think you should do it.
I think it's a good idea. I think it is.
Your first dance, non-dance? First non-dance. Non-first dance.
Jesus Etc. by Wilco.
I don't...
Some of the most beautiful songs ever.
Wilco,
written.
Are they like the DJ lot?
No.
Okay.
Wilkinson,
Jeff, I think that is.
Jeff
right.
Tweedy.
Yeah, who's that?
Jeff Tweedy is an amazing musician who started this band. He used to be in a band called Uncle Tupelo. Then he started the band Wilco. And Nels Klein, who is the guitarist, for me, the greatest guitarist in the whole world. So worth listening to. You will be very happy when you put your headphones in and you listen to Jesus Etc. There's something distant and romantic and lovely about that song.
Are you a hippie?
Yes.
Do you think everyone should be hippies, Mini Driver?
No, I think everybody should do whatever the fuck they want, which is probably the most hippie-ish thing that you can say. I really do think that whatever makes you happy, if it doesn't hurt somebody.
You'd have done better in Topanga Canyon.
It's too far away.
Okay,
from this.
Thank you.
You get stuck.
Yeah, this is what happens.
You get stuck by rockfalls and landslides in Topanga. That's why I never lived there.
But there's all landslides all the way along that bloody Pacific Coast Highway.
And it's been a nightmare because it's been down to one lane.
I know, it was awful.
I love that you were
it?
Just there. I know, it was hellish. I didn't leave.
Can I ask, we didn't get your suite.
Oh, so, again, you know, forgive the whole Proustian... Can I use your spoon to put this on?
This is yummy, Mum.
It really is delicious.
Doesn't taste as almondy as I thought it would.
It tastes great.
And it's just almonds.
Love it.
It's absolutely delicious. I love it. We used to have this fruit cage that my mum, obviously to stop the birds getting all the fruit, and we had every known fruit in there, currants and blackberries and... Black currants, raspberries, strawberries. And so to stop the birds, she built this big fruit cage and we get sent out to go and pick. And I remember just being little in amongst all of those bushes, picking fruit. And then
with the juice running down your
cheeks. Oh,
no,
and then she'd make a crumble.
She made crumble.
So we used to just go and get like all the fruit. And she would make a crumble out of all. She'd never go...
The humble crumble.
Oh, you should have only got the red currants or you should have only got the thing. She just put everything. Them. That is so incredibly delicious. Mm-hmm. A crumble with homemade custard. That is so extraordinarily delicious. I make that in America and people are like, what is this sauce? Is this creme anglaise? Like, what is this? And I'm like, it's custard.
They don't know what custard is.
A custard. Custard in America is like a frozen, frozen sort of dessert. A custard. It's really weird. Like frozen custard. But custard as a pouring thing doesn't exist. Except it does, because they call it creme anglaise in fancy restaurants.
But you can't get gravy powder or stock cubes. That's really hard to find.
No, but they have like...
They have the broth in the freezer. You buy it ready made.
I'm not anti that.
Well, I am because you don't use it all, and then you've got half thing open of broth.
By the way, that's a really good point. I use half of it and then I
freeze the rest.
And I know you're not supposed to, but I try. I put it in when I get a big thing of broth,
like put it in ice cube.
I
things,
decant
yeah.
it into yeah. smaller bags.
It's like, all right, that's a where's little your, hack.
Where's
everyone.
Your favourite shopping?
I mean,
do you go to Whole Foods all
so
the time?
You are gonna hate this whole thing, but I do sometimes go to Whole Foods, but there's a farm up the road in Malibu. And it's up the hill, it's down the hill and then up into the canyon. And it's a farm. And you go and you get in line. There's a man who sells coffee and you stand in line for your bread and you're in amongst the flower fields. So they sell flowers and they all these different vegetables. And we go on a Saturday morning and there are little dirty kids scrabbling around in the dirt. And sometimes there's like an accordion and a guitar player. I mean, it's mad hippie.
It sounds great.
It's lovely. And you get your bread and you get your veg and your fruit. And
sounds
then...
like it's near Cornell, the old place. It sounds like it's near the old place or something like that.
Oh, do you know that's up Canaan? That's down... It's actually... You carry along the PCH and then you go up...
Right, okay.
This place called Bush Drive. Or is it Bonsall? I can't remember. And so I do tend to do, particularly in the summer, I'll do that shop on a Saturday. And then the other stuff, I like going to like our old... like supermarket that's been there. I like sort of giving them my money, not Whole Foods. It's called Pavilions. It's just like a sort
of... Oh, I love Pavilions.
I love Pavilions.
Can I ask you, what would be a really nostalgic taste from your childhood? Perhaps you've already
given... Oh, my God. Coronation chicken.
Mm. Yeah.
Mum used to make that for a picnic.
Love it. You know,
whenever we had a picnic... She would make the coronation chicken.
Did you like it?
If someone was coming over. It's one of those things, I'm not sure that I like it. Right. I would just eat it because it is... What's really not to like? It's kind of curry, it's creamy, sweet, it's chicken, it's sweet. I don't really have an opinion about it. It's just, it is hardwired into my food history.
It's kind of, it was celebratory as well. Yeah. You did it for a party.
And I like deviled eggs, the same thing. Yeah. You know,
when was the last time you had coronation chicken?
Oh, my God, it's going to make me cry. It was when my mum was alive.
Oh, Minnie, I'm sorry.
She's still there, Minnie.
That's so weird. Yeah.
You speak so fondly of her, and she seems so vivid. And, yeah, I'm so sorry.
She is. I think it's also, like, being here with... It's so lovely, like, you guys. It's so nice to... it's so nice hearing you talk to each other.
Oh, I'm...
That's super, like, even you telling her to fuck off.
God, I bet you didn't tell your mum to fuck off.
Do you know what? I probably didn't. Or maybe I did, I don't know. Isn't that weird that coronation chicken would have such a sort of Proustian effect?
I'm sorry.
Where was the last one? Silly. It's totally right. Like, we should cry over coronation chicken if it reminds us of people that we love. Like, I think everything should be allowed. Like, if you feel it truthfully, it should all be allowed. I don't think we let ourselves feel deeply enough and end up stuffing it away somewhere, and then it comes out at the wrong moments. This is, you know...
It sounds like your childhood... was so rich in kind of, like, it sounds like your mum
got great memories,
amazing memories, particularly around food and like discovery, and like you were foraging, you were, I don't know, like it sounds like you have so much respect for your mum.
Yeah.
And you have so many amazing memories, and we're really lucky to have some of them on here, so thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. God, and thank you for that delicious food, Lenny.
Well, it's such
so
a pleasure.
Yummy.
I need to ask one little thing.
Yeah.
You probably don't do karaoke because you're a musician. But if you had to do a karaoke song, which song would you sing?
Can I tell you, it is the most brilliant question, and I have, with one particular friend of mine, it will be an entire morning going... Okay, it's karaoke. What are we going to sing? And then we'll go, okay, now remember that whenever you sing that song, you're always transposing it and you're singing it lower than the key that it will be in when you get to karaoke. And there is nothing worse than standing up in karaoke and starting to sing a song and then you're like, oh no, I can start there, but I know it's going to go up to a C and I'm going to be fucked. I really like doing songs that,
you can actually sing really well, but that also joyfully entertaining, because I think karaoke, standing up for, and wanting everyone to think what an amazing voice you have at karaoke is a bit weird.
Yes.
I'm not for that, unless you're like Beyonce, I suppose. Hank Williams, to answer your question.
Hank Williams.
Jambalaya. Goodbye, Joe, me gotta go, me on my own. Me gotta go, heart be on the mile.
Oh, I like it.
My
do you
Yvonne,
not know it? No, but I like hearing you sing, Minnie, so carry on.
Son of a gun, gonna have big fun on the bio. It's such a good song. It's such a good karaoke song. And because it starts with a fiddle and everyone's like, oh, hello. Oh, it's a bit of, oh, it's some country. What's happening? And then everyone feels really jolly right from the get-go. And then you can, and then it's got a massive chorus that you can go mad
everybody
on.
Everybody knows the chorus.
Do you see yourself more as a kind of Americana gal or a Brit?
Can I tell you, this is one of the things that was making last night when I was eating my yogurt and granola, like staring out going, what is my life?
Sorry.
I was like sitting there,
I better send
like,
you home
loving,
with food.
Exactly. Loving that it was light at like 8 o'clock at night. And I was staring and I was going, what am I? Like, where do I belong? Because I know that I am from here. Like, I know my mother lived here, my sister lives here, my brother, their children. Like, what? But I sit there just dreaming of the Pacific Ocean. Like, she's my lover. Like, I dream about her at night. Like, I think of being, I think of diving into her. Like, and that feels like home to me.
Mm.
But where you are from is a different kind of feeling of home, you know? So I just don't think it's one place. And I feel sad that I don't feel that, because I love that people go, I am a Londoner, I am from here, this is my place, I will always return. Like, there's something really tethered about that. And I have always felt a bit untethered, not in a mental way.
Do you have
Minnie,
both
you're Moana. You're Moana. You're Moana.
Do you have both passports?
I do.
Yeah.
I do, only because they... Honestly, during the Trump administration, I started getting threatening correspondence around my green card. I was very vocal about how awful he is and how awful he would be. And it was really interesting. And I realized I had an American kid and my life was there. And I was like, I better become a citizen. Which, as my mother said, she was like, God, it's like you think you're walking into the fire instead of away from it. What are you, some sort of American fireman? I was like, yeah, I suppose.
So you say you're out of jobs, but you actually are about to be on telly again.
Yes.
Serpent Queen.
The Serpent Queen.
You're Queen Elizabeth.
I'm Queen Elizabeth.
No big deal.
No big deal at all. No.
Queen Elizabeth the First or the Second?
The First.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did you...
Oh, yeah.
Was the look...
It was
fab.
Absolutely incredible. There was a... The hair and makeup designer is called Jenny Rhodes McLean, and what she and her extraordinary team created. I had prosthetic eyebrows because I couldn't bleach my eyebrows; they would all fall out. It's just not a good thing to do, and then they don't grow back. So we did these prosthetic eyebrows, and the full glossy white face and the clothes and the wigs, and it was extraordinary, and it's the most amazing show. Samantha Morton plays Catherine de Medici.
God, I love her.
All these fantastic English actors.
Where's it going to be on?
It'll be on.
God.
So here's the absolute bastard of how it is released in the UK. Essentially, you can find it through your Amazon Prime. That's the easiest way to say it. Because in America, it's just on a channel called Stars, which is just like part of a package.
Stars, isn't that on Disney as well?
It's on Amazon Prime.
Exactly. So you basically can find it through Amazon Prime, but I think you have to add it. You have to know to look for it, which is why it's frustrating for people in the UK. But I think season one was worth watching, and then season two, I know for absolute certain, will be worth watching, because it is my favourite character. Who is the Serpent Queen? The Serpent Queen is Catherine de Medici, who was essentially the sort of de facto Queen of France, even though her children were the kings.
Okay.
And she's played by Samantha Morton with great vigour and awfulness, you know, in a good way. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. I highly recommend it. If you like the favourite and you like the great...
Oh, yeah.
It's very much in that style, except Justin Haythe, who wrote it,
He is an exquisite writer. He is a novelist who then became a screenwriter. He wrote a movie called Revolutionary Road, and then
I've seen that.
Yeah,
now.
With Kate Winslet and, yes. And Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a brilliant, brilliant program. I urge people to try and find it, because it is a bit of a hike to find it, but you will.
Can we also talk about the fact that probably Starstruck isn't coming back?
No, I know.
We loved it.
Wasn't
you were
it brilliant?
Such a bitch.
God, I know. I love
it. It was so
Starstruck.
Good.
But she's right to do like a perfect three.
We've had them both on.
I mean, are they just...
Rose is so talented. And Nikesh is such a lovely man.
Oh, my God.
Just had a baby.
Was he?
Yeah. So, Nikesh, how brilliant to be the sort of... the romantic lead in when Rose has had... and all the sort of funny was around, in a way, around her and her flatmate and
yeah,
the whole...
and taking the piss out of him,
and
really.
And he was so graceful.
Yeah, because it...
lovely.
Totally. He kind of had to sit back and let the jokes kind of fly. And he was so generous with it.
So generous about doing that. And
it was wicked.
He's clever and brilliant. And I bet Rose was a good girl. She's funny. Gosh,
she's
funny.
Just very dry.
Funny. So dry.
She's brilliant.
She is. She's amazing.
Mini Driver, thank you for being here. Thank you for educating us. Thank you for being so open and beautifully honest and loving your food. It's been such a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much,
I'm in love.
Many thank you.
Such a pleasure, darling.
Thank you for making this delicious food.
Driver. I think that there should be like the Mini Driver way of life.
Jessie, you're going to have to become a surfer to
I know,
have
that's
way
the
of
problemo.
Life.
I'm willing
sure
to.
That, I'm not sure you're a surfer, darling. Jessie, I can't get over her skin.
Her skin?
It is smooth like porcelain. And she is gorgeous. And she does not, she looks 10 years younger than she is.
Wear sunscreen, kids, and wear a hat. That's what I'm
Does she
learning.
Wear a hat when she's
she
surfing?
She says she wears everything when she's surfing.
Oh, so she looks like Nicole Kidman when she's
yes,
out there.
Yes, I think so. What I find fascinating about Minnie Driver is that, you know, you think of her as this big film star from the 90s that kind of made big splashes, excuse the pun, and then decides to kind of shun the Hollywood life for being a beach bum. Not a beach bum, but, you know, like I find that really fascinating. Lives in a trailer park. Didn't have that on my bingo card for Minnie Driver. I'm Googling if I can afford to buy a mobile home in Malibu.
Oh, yes.
That's quite a good idea, isn't
Jessica,
it?
Jessica!
Mum!
I'll go home.
We're moving in Malibu!
I wonder how much it would be.
Going back to our Abasoch roots, Mum. She asked my number. We're going to be friends. I love it when that happens on this podcast.
Jessie, you're always friends.
Love it. Love Minnie Driver. Loved her authenticity and just she
I loved her,
enjoyed being
and
her
I
so
loved
much.
Hearing about her mum. She
too.
Really loved her mum.
Yeah. I'm going to try and be a bit more Mini Driver today.
Oh,
take
you?
It slow.
Take it slow.
Going to catch a wave.
It was nice today, wasn't it?
It was so yum, the food, Mum.
Was it?
It was great. It was your best brunch yet. Loved the cake.
That was easy.
Lenny, you smacked it today.
Yeah.
You caught a wave. Caught a set, whatever
Thank
it is.
Thank you. Hang five.
Rip curl. Hang five.
But I didn't realise there was all that etiquette about queuing for your
I know,
wave.
It was fascinating.
And she didn't catch a wave for 6 months.
I'd be like,
fuck off, I'm in.
I'm ready for when my kids are slightly older for us to be that surfing family. Anyway, thank you for listening and thank you to Mini Driver. And we'll see you next week.
Podcast Neck.
Podcast Neck. How's the podcast neck?
I think I need to sit the other way.
Should Maybe I just go this?
I think I'm going to sit on the other side.
Let's mix it up.
To kind
That's
of
a
balance.
Great idea.
Yeah. Get it the other way.
Thanks so much and we'll see you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.